The Phil Hendry Show with Phil Hendry. West of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. East of the Rockies, dial 1-800-449-8686. First-time callers, dial 1-800-449-8686. And the wildcard line is 1-800-449-8686. And now, here's Phil Hendry.
Tonight, Robert Green, the CEO of Fraser Foods, will be talking about a management employee seminar that he has started to enable employees to understand their managers better and to further, you know, communication between workers and the people charged with their supervising them, or supervising them, I think is where the emphasis should go. So what do you have on the phone there, Bud? Is it David?
Yeah, Mr. Hall on line three.
Yeah, David?
Look, this is St. Patrick's Day. I don't know if you're... what you're doing, but we got to get some Irish stuff on the air. I don't know.
Well, okay, hold on for a minute. I talked to you about this. I don't do that, you know?
Well, what do you mean you don't do that?
What do you mean it's St. Patrick's Day, we got to get some Irish stuff? I'm Irish, okay? Every day is St. Patrick's Day for me.
What about someone that booze? You know, Phil, I'm trying desperately to keep your show from failing. You got to do what people are thinking of doing, which is the Irish deal.
Are you Irish?
No.
What difference does it make, man?
Are you wearing green?
No, I ain't wearing green. Can we... look...
I had this conversation, Bud. Go ahead, tell him.
We got Thought of a Quarter on line four.
I was not planning on having him on the air.
Well, you're having him on the air tonight.
Why?
Because he's Irish.
So I got to have a guy who's Irish on.
Something, anything. I want a mick on your show between...
oh, it's a mick now.
Well, I misspoke. I'm sorry. Dump that. Tell Mark to dump it.
Dump out the reference to mick, Mark.
Did he dump it?
Yes.
I want to get an Irish American on your show tonight. Now get him on.
You're on line two.
I hadn't planned...
get him on!
Yeah, Father McQuarters, how are you, sir?
Hello, Phil. How are you? And a very happy St. Patrick's Day to you on this very wonderful and festive evening. And
What is it that you want to do tonight, Father? As David said that you were going to be on the program.
He's going to sing a song.
Yes, Phil. I want to sing a song. And it's an Irish song. It's called The Roman Catholic Priest Blues. And...
kind of a blues song.
Yeah, blues.
I thought Tsunami Sam was coming in to do blues.
Well, I'm not familiar. Is he the Negro?
He's the black guy that we were going to have.
Well, I want to do some blues. And I won't take no for an answer. Now, I am charged for the diocese to come out to various broadcasts this evening and to spread the message, the good news and the good message of the Roman Catholic faith. And the way I'd like to do it, David, as you and I discussed.
He's going to sing a blues song, Phil.
Okay, go ahead and sing your blues song.
Boy, what a butthole.
He's got an attitude.
Excuse me, gentlemen.
Wait, just hold on. Here we go. Oh, when I was just a young priest, I saw a lad in town. I was calling him Mary before the sun went down. Oh, I've got the Catholic blues. Oh, yeah.
What do you mean I was calling him Mary before...
will you shut up and let him finish?
Was I interrupted?
Sorry, Father.
I'd like to finish this song.
Well, what is this about, anyway?
It doesn't matter what it's about, Phil. I'm a priest. I'm a priest of God. Oh, when I was just a young priest, sitting there in Mass, I saw a young boy. His hands were covered with slabber. Well,
right, I don't want to do this anymore, man, Bud. You're just going to have...
you hung up on him.
Yeah, I hung up on him. Now get Tsunami in here, because that guy does the blues.
All right, come on, Sam.
How you doing, Sam?
Yeah, I'm very good, Sam.
It's good to have you with us, and I know that you've got a song for the occasion here this evening. You're going to do a little blues singing, because I need my spirits... funny thing about blues, it uplifts people. There was a bank robbery out here, and I was stuck in traffic, so I need to have a little bit of a jump start for the show, if you don't mind.
All right. This is a very topical song, Phil. I'm doing a song about Scott Peterson on The Last Mile.
Scott Peterson on Death Row?
That's right. And Scott Peterson, I'll tell a story about Scott Peterson. You know, he on The Last Mile. And he's going to go to the death house, and here it is.
Go ahead. Here is Tsunami Sam with Scott Peterson's On the Last Mile.
Well, 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 well. Well, that's Scott Peterson. Yeah, that man gonna die.
Yeah.
Scott Peterson, he's sitting on the last mile. He cut up his baby and cut off his wife. And now that sucker is gonna call him alive. Well, Scott on the last mile. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
That's the blues, bud.
Yeah. Well, Scott's gonna die on account of he messed up his little wife.
Here come the big finish.
Right. Oh, Danny boy, the putt.
Will you get out of here? You here for my attorney in the NAACP. What are you talking about, man? I was digging that. That was a great song.
What the hell wrong with it?
What do you mean, oh, Danny boy?
Yeah, I'm saying.
Go ahead.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Oh, Danny boy, the pipes are calling. From glen to glen and down the mountainside.
Well, yeah!
The summer's gone and all the flowers are dying. Tis you, must go and I must bide.
All right!
But come ye back when
some... You bug off! I'm gonna call Jesse Jackson on your ass. Well, dude, you guys are mocking the whole thing. That's what's going on here, bud.
Come on, man. It's the blues.
It's freaking Danny boy. I don't even know what it means. Danny boy.
I'll tell you what it means. It means...
Yeah, thanks, Father McQuarters. When I was just a young priest, I saw a kid covered with slabber. All right, anyway, Bob Green is up tonight. We're also going to have Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters. It's a new feature on our program, which I think you'll enjoy, as well as an interview, ladies and gentlemen, with Scott Peterson. Now, this took us quite a while to set up. My thanks to my technical engineer and producer, Mark Newman, Harry Shelley. Everybody weighed in on this as we were able to get this interview with Scott Peterson, and you will hear it live. Live from the holding area at San Quentin. It is called the transfer area, where inmates are transferred in and out of that facility. Scott Peterson, live on the Phil Henry Show in just a few minutes. First, we'll have a listener flashback, and that's all coming up here tonight, as well as Bob Green in the next hour here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
All right, we have a listener flashback now, and Father McQuarters is on to, because we're supposed to have a lot of Irish stuff, is on to read the letter. Go ahead, Father.
You know, I just had a thought. The resentment that is in your voice this evening.
Father, it's never mind about my resentment. I just don't like being told, hey, it's St. Patrick's Day, do Irish stuff. It's lame.
It's lame, is it? You call it lame?
Yes, Father, I do. I call it lame.
St. Patrick drove the serpents out of Ireland. And in so doing, Phil, gave the Irish people a chance at experiencing the host and the body and blood of Jesus. Do you find that lame, Phil? You know that Jesus healed the lame.
Do you know that?
Are you going to do a homily, or do you want to do the thing here?
Oh, get you.
Will you just read it?
All right, all right. This is Father James McCordis with this week's flashback request. Dear Phil, my favorite line is still Larry Grover talking about Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ, as it related to the excessive child support he was paying, where he said, quote, finally, a movie about my life. Larry, you see, saw the Passion of the Christ not in terms of the Stations of the Cross, but in point of fact, he felt that what Jesus suffered on that day so many years ago is not unlike what most men suffer when they're paying child support in alimony, having nails pounded into their hands and the flesh flayed off their backs once a month. Now,
give me the thing, I'll read it. My favorite line is still Larry Grover talking about Mel Gibson's Passion of the Christ as it related to the excessive child support he was paying. He said, quote, finally a movie about my life. Keep up the great work and I'll keep listening. Savvy? Katie Ward, proud member of the Wall of Female Listeners in my Halloween angel costume. All right, cool, Katie. Here it is, Larry Grover on the Passion of the Christ.
I just want to say that if this man is grown up enough to put his and make a baby, then he needs to be grown up enough to take responsibility and pay for half of that child's upbringing.
Ma'am,
if he thinks that
I
his child support, if you think that your child support is excessive, then your ex-wife needs to sit down and write a list of everything that she spends on the upbringing of your children on a monthly basis, and let you pay for half of that, because I can guarantee you it's going to be more than what you're paying in child support.
Oh, and look at you taking
you
the side of the woman.
Jesus Christ, my Savior, you need to go burn in hell for that.
Well, wait just a second, ma'am. I'm not trying to disrespect Mr. Christ or anything that he is alleged to have done. I'm trying to say that when I saw the Passion of Mr.
But
Jesus Christ...
But you're comparing yourself to him. That is so sacrilegious.
It was very similar. Do you have an ex-husband paying you child support, ma'am?
Yes, I do.
All right, that's exactly what you're doing to him. Ooh, gotcha.
No, you know what?
Yeah.
He is exactly what the
court
want him to pay, and
you
he doesn't complain about it. He even gives me extra money every
Jesus
month to help make sure that our kids are taken care of.
That is correct, but Jesus
and, you know,
didn't complain either, ma'am.
That's what you need to be doing. You need to be thinking about what's best for your children and stop worrying about your damn pocketbook and think
about
the kids.
My wife's the one that kept pushing me to have relations, to have kids. Oh, I want a baby, I want a baby, I want a baby. And
you
now,
know what?
Guess
you're
what? I'm hanging up there on a hill on a Friday afternoon
and
it's going to rain.
You away from it before you had a baby. You were man enough to make one. Now be man enough and accept the responsibility of it.
Well, I want to jump in here and say, Larry, you have said repeatedly you don't want to, you don't mind paying child support. You just don't want to pay excessive.
Exactly.
You're paying how much?
I'm paying $875 a month for four kids.
Oh, you're
and that is
off
that's
easy,
like,
big boy.
I don't understand the question. I don't understand her comment.
It sounds pretty light, man.
Light? I'm working at Culver Print.
For four kids? That's $200 a month for a kid. Do you know how much
she's giving me vinegar to drink and a sponge when I have to... What's that?
Do you know how much it costs to feed and clothe a child per month? To pay to have lights on in that house to keep them warm in the
winter time? About $875 a month for four kids.
No, wrong. Your ex-wife needs to give you the four kids and let you see what you can do with $800 a month.
You know, Melissa, what is your Latin name? Because you're a Roman soldier to that ex-husband. Thank you.
Whatever.
Wait a minute. Did you hang up?
No, I didn't. I'm just collecting my thoughts.
There it is. And you might have, that's our flashback request from Katie. And Katie is on our Wall of Female Listeners. She's four rows up from the bottom over to the right. I know that's what Mark does. Where is she? Anyway, she's in a little angel costume, very lovely redhead. Thank you, Katie, for your request. It's the Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. All right, we've got a big interview coming up with Scott Peterson. We're also going to have Kip Brown with a new approach to... you guys, you know, you don't really hear astrological signs done on the radio anymore. And Kip Brown is going to be on this hour to do astrological readings in a way that he feels they've always... they should have been done. So that's coming up. Also, as we mentioned... Bob Green, and Bob will be talking with us about employee relations and how they can be improved. Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters, tonight featuring Prince Philip and Queen Elizabeth, who will be on just giving us a... I guess what you would say, it's kind of an example, because I think the Queen and the Prince are doing okay, aren't they, Bud?
I don't know.
Well, I thought you could at least say, oh yeah, Phil, they are.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
What do you got?
Line one. There's a guy seen a bank robbery.
Okay, we had a robbery out here. Yes, sir?
Is this Mr. Henry?
Yes.
Okay. I am here on Ventura Boulevard right now. We're stopped dead, and I've just ducked into this print shop to get a call into you. The Los Angeles police has the traffic backed up. Nobody can go anywhere. And apparently there was a bank robbery. A teller got shot right in the face. But what's that got to do with me? You savvy?
So, what do you mean, do I savvy? What are you talking about?
I'm talking about the fact that on Ventura and Sepulveda, there was a bank robbery today. And because of that, they have got hundreds of automobiles that are not able to make their way. Now, as I understand, the laws, the Department of Commerce articulates very clearly that the interstates and public roads are throughways through which...
If there's a bank robbery, sir, it's called police activity, and they shut everything down.
I understand that they're shutting everything down. What you don't understand is that doesn't have anything to do with me. And I'm trying to say to you that...
Lucilla, we got a bunch of people calling in on this.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I agree. The gentleman's talking about the bank.
Yeah, were you there?
Oh, yes, yeah. And apparently they are closing everything down.
See, Phil, what we're saying here...
Well, hold on for a minute. What are you guys saying? That because the police are out there...
They're keeping us from getting home. I've got dinner to cook, and the police... I said, what happened? And he said, I don't know. There was a bank robbery, and apparently one of the robbers put the pistol to the manager's head and sent his brains across the street.
And so why? What? So that's bad, but it didn't happen to me.
Well, that's the point exactly. So
why don't you people have a little bit of compassion for the hard work the cops are trying to do right now, finding this guy? Where is he?
I don't know, and I don't care. The guy's loose in your neighborhood. I don't live here.
So there's a guy loose in the neighborhood.
My understanding, yes, he's armed and extremely dangerous. But what has that got to do with us?
Exactly. What has that got to do with us? And
yes, sir.
Yeah, I want to echo the comments of the people. What's that got to do with me? Just on account of he took a gun and stuck it up to the ball bag of the security guard.
Look, at all of you guys are saying things that is so typical of Americans and people around the world who cannot at least put themselves in the shoes of the hardworking police. And
oh, here we go, the hardworking police. My tax dollars.
Yes, my tax dollars.
Aha, your tax dollars. Is that what it's about?
Mr. Henry, I want to say my tax dollars. And
well, here's a quarter. Here's change for your tax dollars.
Well, isn't that original?
You know, I'm going to be on the phone to your superiors at 9 o'clock sharp a.m.
Yes, go ahead. Line 4, is this line 4?
Yes, sir. Apparently a man with a machine gun and a machete entered the bank and sliced the teller's head clean off. Now, what in the name of sweet, feathery Jesus in a jumper has that got to do with me? And that's the point I'm trying to make to the host right now. I'm trying to get home. Lost is on tonight. I T-vote it, but what will that do? I got
you idiot.
I'm an idiot.
What do you mean Lost is on? You T-vote it, but what would that do? The guy
come in with a machine gun and everybody making a big deal.
If the guy's got a machete and a machine gun, the guy's got to be caught. It's happening out there in the streets, and if you can't get home on time, that's just too bad.
So you're a racist?
That's right. I'm a racist. Yeah, David.
How dare you talk to those people?
Don't give me that line of hokum, man. These people are calling in bitching because the coppers got the corner shut down over here.
Apparently a man drove a tank through the wall of the bank and crushed a little baby under the tread. So?
So?
Yes, you got thousands of people trying to get home. So they're scraping baby off a tank tread. God almighty, Henry, I'd wish for once you'd get with it and start talking about the things people care about, like Scott Peterson.
And maybe even Michael Jackson, huh?
Yeah, get that fruit you have on and talk about Michael Jackson feeling up some kid. I don't care if the guy's over there with a pitchfork and a pick, picking baby out of a tank tread. Yes, sir?
I think the man you have on the end is a racist.
I agree. He's my employee, and I agree. I used to share a lot of his feelings, but...
Yeah, this is going too far.
Yes.
Well, okay, let me apologize to all you guys that are stuck out in traffic tonight on Ventura and Sepulveda because there was a bank robbery and a guy apparently went in with a gun and grabbed money and ran and he's loose in the neighborhood. Sorry that it's so inconveniencing for you to be sitting there on your dead cans in traffic. I know you got to get home and do a lot. Look, we all got lives. We all have lives, but yours are far more important than those of the bank tellers and the...
Get off your high horse. Get off your high horse. Get off...
Horse.
Horse.
All right, Scott Peterson is coming up in our exclusive interview from San Quentin. That's right, Scott Peterson in a moment of the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
They're picking baby out of a tank tread.
Phil Hendry Show, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
All right, I have on the line with me, my understanding is...
That what?
That is San Quentin. That is an area called the transfer area. This is where the prisoners are transferred in and out of the facility at San Quentin. And do we have Mr. Peterson?
This is Scott Peterson, yeah.
Mr. Peterson, yes, good evening.
Good evening.
Mr. Peterson, I obviously am... interested, as many, many people are interested in asking you the question, and that is, why did you kill your wife and unborn son?
As I have said, I am innocent. I did not kill my wife and son.
You did not?
No, sir, I did not. But I know who did. And
you know who did.
And I have remained silent up to this point because I didn't think that the judicial system of this country was going to let me down, but apparently it has.
You say that you know who killed your wife and unborn son.
Yes, I do. And what I'm asking of you and other members of the media, because I realize now that they're serious about taking an innocent man's life, is to just hear me out. Because what I'm going to tell you, you probably won't believe. But I will, if you want, get a stack of Bibles in here, whatever you want.
Who killed your wife and son?
Martin Lawrence, the actor.
The actor?
Yes.
Martin Lawrence, the actor. Do you know him?
I do, yes.
Where did you meet him?
I met him in Los Angeles. I was there for a series of meetings, and I met him.
And how did it come to be that Martin Lawrence... You understand, sir, I don't believe you.
No, I know you don't believe me, but I am willing to... I can prove it. Okay.
That proof would be a very interesting concept, as the man once said. So tell me first, before you prove it, where did you meet Martin Lawrence, and what did you say, or how did this topic ever come up?
I met him at a party. It was a party I'd been invited to. There were a few other celebrities there. Matthew McConaughey was one of the actors, and everybody had been drinking. And I saw Mr. Lawrence, and I said, okay. Now, we got into a conversation. I finally said, I'll pay you if you'll kill my wife.
So you do admit culpability?
Yes, I admit culpability. I'm not saying that I didn't have anything to do with it, but I didn't kill her. And people say, I just said, y'all leave it to your devices. Do whatever you need to do.
We're speaking with Scott Peterson from San Quentin, who has just dropped a bombshell in our show. He says that Martin Lawrence, the actor, is the one who killed his wife and unborn son at your behest.
I don't understand.
At your, you wanted that done?
Yes.
And you paid him how much?
I paid him $2,000.
All right. Prove it.
Okay. I'm going to prove to you and to all of your listeners that Martin Lawrence did kill my wife and my son. And by way of proof, I am offering to swear to God himself on a stack of Bibles, as many Bibles as you want.
Well, that's not proof, sir.
Oh, hold on. It's not proof? How do you figure it's not?
If swearing on a stack of Bibles, you could be lying.
I swear to God.
Do you even believe in God?
I think so. I think they're going to execute me, so I think it's a good idea that I believe in God, yeah. I swear on a stack of Bibles that I didn't kill my wife and son, that Martin Lawrence killed my wife and son. And he did it After I asked him to, I paid him $2,000, and he went up there, and he beat her over the head with a boat anchor. I don't know what he did, and he threw her in the water. And my understanding, and this is just my understanding, because that he got some help from some other people, and I don't know who they are.
Do you have any idea?
I only heard names. Matthew McConaughey was one.
All right, I want to ask you something, because I think you're crazy.
No, I know you think I'm crazy, but I'll swear on a stack of Bibles.
And Matthew McConaughey and Martin Lawrence.
Yes, I know it sounds crazy. But if you remember, the party that I was at was the same party that Matthew McConaughey got drunk and took his clothes off and was playing the bongos. Do you recall that, Mr. Henry?
No, I don't.
Well, it was in the news. Matthew McConaughey got drunk. That's when I said, when we were partying, and I said, would you kill my wife? And Lawrence, because I don't know, and I'm not racist, but I guess maybe because he's black, he said, yeah, okay. And, you know, and then the white, and then McConaughey went along with it. And there were a few others there, and Mr. Bullock, you're familiar with that.
No, I'm... Who?
Mr. Bullock.
No, I'm not familiar.
Jim J. Bullock.
Jim J. Bullock.
Yes.
Jim J. Bullock, Martin Lawrence, and Matthew McConaughey killed your wife and unborn son.
Yes. What do you want me to do?
Prove it to me, man! That's not proof saying you'll swear at a stack of Bibles.
Oh, it isn't? I'm going to think about it, Mr. Henry.
You're not going to con me, Mr. Peterson. You know, your days of conning people are over. Your days of getting on TV and talking about what an innocent man you are over with. You have to...
I'm facing death. Why wouldn't I swear to God? I know what God can do. I'm going to die. Do you think I'm going to sit here and lie to you? I'm facing the execution chamber. They're going to drop a pill on me. So I am telling you, I'll swear to Jesus Christ himself that Martin Lawrence, Jim J. Bullock, Matthew McConaughey, and Robert Blake all...
Now you're adding in Robert Blake.
Yeah, I know, I already told you.
No, you did not tell me that.
I swear to God.
Robert Blake! This guy has been he's been locked up himself.
Before that. Jesus, where's your timeline?
Before he got locked up.
Yes. Mr. Henry, do you understand what it is to face death?
No, not the way you are.
Okay. I am going to die. I know this now. And I'm trying to tell you that if I'm lying, then I'm basically saying to God, go ahead and burn me forever. Why would I come on this program with such a fantastic tale if I wasn't telling? I know how crazy this sounds.
You're telling me Robert Blake, Matthew McConaughey...
Jim J. Bullock, B. Arthur, yeah.
B. Arthur!
Sir, my attorney faxed all of these names.
I didn't know that B. Arthur had anything to do with the death of your wife. This is beginning to sound like a joke.
I am swearing to any God you want. Why won't someone believe?
I said, Mr. Peterson, your days of conning people are over.
I'm not conning anybody. How could I con you if I know I'm going to die and God will consign me to hell? I told these people in confidence.
Well, then why didn't you say something during the trial?
Because I didn't think it would come to this. I thought that my attorney was going to do a good job and get me off. We were at the party. And
let's go back. You're at a party. You were down here for what?
It was a fertilizer exhibition. That's what I do. I sell fertilizer.
A fertilizer exhibition?
Yes. And we all got invited to a party.
So fertilizer salesmen get invited to parties where B. Arthur is at, where Matthew McConaughey's naked and playing the bongo drums, and Martin Lawrence is there.
Mr. Henry, I don't know anything about these people. I'm just telling you what happened.
Okay.
Do you want me to go on?
Yes.
Rhea Perlman came up to me, and she said, I might know somebody who knows how to...
Rhea Perlman?
These names were faxed to your producer. So I don't know.
My producer never said anything. Get me all the names that you're talking about, so I don't want to have any more surprises.
I told you, Rhea Perlman, B. Arthur, Jim J. Bullock, Matthew McConaughey, Martin Lawrence, and there was one other and I can't remember.
Yeah, uh-huh.
All right, forget it. But let me just say this. When the state of California drops a pill on me, an innocent man goes to his death, and I was on your radio show trying to tell you, and you wouldn't listen. Did you ever see The Fugitive, Mr. Henry? Did you see that movie? An innocent man goes to his...
Well, you ain't the fugitive, brother. You ain't the fugitive.
He could have talked about a one-armed man. That's just as weird.
No, that ain't just as weird. You know what? That was a movie that didn't even happen.
It was based upon Carol Chessman's case.
All right, it might have been based upon Carol Chessman, but no one-armed man. And when you threw B. Arthur in, you know, you might have had me believing you at Martin Lawrence and Matthew McConaughey, because you're right. Both of those guys are screwballs.
Well, then I guess you won't believe that David Arquette was involved. Yeah, here he goes. He's not believing it.
You don't believe it?
No. I'm talking to one of the guys here. By the way, everybody thinks that I'm going to be called Sally over here. Half the guys in here killed their wives and kids. They think I'm a great guy.
Great?
Yeah, hold on for a minute, Phil.
For he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, for he's a jolly good fellow, that nobody can deny. All right, yay!
You guys just wanted to welcome me.
Oh, not nice.
I get an autograph CD.
One of the guys here wants an autograph CD.
Listen, Jack Ball, B. Arthur, Rhea Perlman, Jim J. Bullock, and David Arquette killed your wife, and you'll swear on a stack of Bibles. I suggest you get your attorney back on the phone, file for a new trial, present your new evidence.
That's my new evidence.
You swearing on a stack of Bibles ain't your new evidence.
I'm swearing to God. You don't believe in God?
Not the God you believe in, man. You are going to go to hell, man. You're going to burn. You want to know why?
Why?
Because you did kill your wife and unborn son.
No, I didn't. No, I didn't. I contracted with B. Arthur to do it, but I didn't do it.
Did you do the deal with B. Arthur? Who'd you do the deal with?
I did the deal with B. Arthur.
But Martin Lawrence did it.
Yes. And Matthew McConaughey drove the car, and Rhea Perlman got rid of the body. Yeah, I guess I'm crazy. Okay, forget it.
Yeah, you're crazy, all right.
Boy, I think it's pretty sad, man. Pretty sad a guy can't come on the air and talk about how Rhea Perlman cut the unborn baby out of his wife's stomach and no one's going to believe him. Forget it.
I don't know. I mean, it's... You know.
I'm not looking at you. I'm not blaming you.
Yeah, well, you got that look.
I'm just saying that this guy's... He's going down for the count. Not only that, but Rhea Perlman is going, and B. Arthur, and Matthew McConaughey.
And Jim J. Bullock.
And Jim J. Bullock will all sue me now.
No, they'll sue Scott Peterson. But I guess they'll have to sue San Quentin.
Why?
Because he said it on their phone.
Look at man, forget it. 1-800-449-86, he said it on their phone. Coming up, we have Bob Green on Management Employee Relations on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Our email address, phs@philhenryshow.com, and our worldwide web is www.philhenryshow.com.
Phil Henry, 1-800-449-8686. Phil Henry Show is back. 1-800-449-8686.
Coming up, we got Kip Brown with his astrological signs. We also have Bob Green and the employee management board that he has been monitoring, that he's a part of. He'll be talking with us about employee and manager relations. We also have the Bluto, Jimmy, and Hole show. And later on in our program tonight, we'll be talking once again with Father James McQuarters and Steve Grusom's Marriage Encounters. As we continue here, 1-800-449-8686. And we do have some entertainment news. Prosecutors are considering whether to file criminal charges against singer Paula Abdul for an alleged hit-and-run freeway accident last December in which she dragged a man 300 yards before his head fell off. No, she didn't. Frank Mabubualala, I can't pronounce his name, city attorney's office spokesman said a Mercedes-Benz belonging to, quote, the American Idol judge, end quote, clipped another car December 20th on the 101 freeway in the San Fernando Valley. The driver apparently failed to look while changing lanes and did not stop to exchange information. How about that? So they found out it was her through the license plate, I guess. Nobody was hurt in the accident. The driver and passenger in the struck car took down the Mercedes license plate number and photographed it with a cell phone camera. The plate was traced to Abdul. Well, she was out of the country on Thursday and couldn't be reached for comment, said her publicist, Stephanie Scherer. Looks like you're dead to rights, sister. Not only that, but little Kim got convicted of perjury. So the party's over, baby. She's going down for the count for 20 years. Lil' Kim, because she lied. See, some of these people, even though they're successful, they ain't too bright. I'll tell you why. This is not, I mean, look, A, if you hit somebody on a freeway, what planet do you live on, man, that you don't stop and exchange information unless you're hammered drunk or you've been popping pills like it's Valley of the Dolls? In other words, like you're just playing a Patty Duke, right? And you're just lying by the pool in your underwear and, I'm so sick of this business. And you've got like an empty Tom Collins glass next to you. And they find you sprawled on your bed half naked with the robe open and you're just wearing your panties and there's a guy there from, you know, medical services and he's getting ready to strap the bag on you. And it's a whole Marilyn Monroe scene. If that's your life, Paula, I'd get help and I'd get it now. You know why she didn't stop. She was blind, stinking drunk. She smelled like a Gordon's Gin Brewery. Paula Abdul, who is, I think, a great talent. But I got to tell you, I got a little, I don't want to say, but let me just put it to you this way. I got a little inside information. Not about her drinking. That's total speculation. Now, on a little Kim. Now, so that's Paula. So she's that stupid. Now, little Kim, get a load of this. She lied. She said, I didn't know a guy, right? The freaking security cameras got her dead to rights. She's photographed. They got her. She might as well have posed for a portrait.
I don't know the man.
Really? Well, how come I got 58,000 pictures of you in black and white, full color, Technicolor? I got a blown up poster, man, that I had you autograph outside the courtroom. You don't remember that? With you standing right next to the guy. Well, I'm not familiar. You're not familiar, huh? You know the guy. Your Honor, convict her. Yeah, she's out of here. So she's a dope. And so this is sad, man, because I happen to like both of them. Not because they can sing or dance. In one case, because the other, you know, Paula Abdul, she's got to be 50. And that's right up my alley, man. I can handle that. By that point, a woman in her life says, I don't want a boy toy anymore. I don't even really want a guy that's rich. I just want a guy that's walking around and can halfway perform after a couple of, well, Tom Collins. All right, I'm going to take a break here. We'll be right back with more, including Kip Brown's astrology. 1-800-449-8686. You just remember what I said.
Phil Hendry, 1-800-449-8686. The Phil Hendry Show is back.
Hello, everybody. This is Kip Brown, the astrologer who isn't a bald-faced liar. That's right. This astrology, we tell the truth. Hello, Leo. This is your day. Huge brain tumor in your future. And Virgo, your divorce, it's going through. And you talk about alimony and child support, you're broke. Broke and dead. Broke and dead in an alley, someone breathing into your mouth and finally just clearing your spittle out of their mouth and saying, nah, he's gone. Probably nobody knew him. This is Kip Brown, the astrologer that doesn't lie.